Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And I am honored to be here, though I do miss the inflection in your voice in the introduction. But we've got to move on from that. This is not fun. People tell us that we beat things to death, so we can't, like...
Yes.
That's from watching David Letterman. David Letterman... Like, he would, like, get a joke, and he would just run with it forever. And this is my David Letterman influence in my life.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. We are on a two-part little mini-series on what to do if you inherit a building from a church that's closing down. So this is part two. Listen to 573.
Wait, there's more? I thought I said everything you were supposed to say last time.
No. So listen to episode 573. If you haven't yet done so, that gets us going. But as we start off episode 575, I wanted to throw out a few different scenarios for you, Ed.
Yeah.
All right. So what we know from COVID, and this is at least from the church planners that I've been in contact with, most of them didn't have a building. They were renting. And for a lot of them, they've actually been doing really well financially because the majority of their congregation was giving online. Some, it was 100% was giving online because they were a new church plant, and that's, you know, people weren't used to passing the plate and they just never did that. And on top of that, they didn't have ongoing maintenance or building anything like that or rental because they got out of their lease when COVID hit, or they were soon able to get out of their lease when COVID hit. So for a lot of these church plants, actually, COVID has, rather than causing them to shut down, they've actually been able to pivot and adapt really well because they didn't have a building. Yet, as we talked about at the end of last episode, this whole idea of rental fatigue, if you set up and tear down, and man, it's a pain to drag the trailer around and set up and tear down over and over and over week after week. So when a church that's dying out says, hey, here's a building. I mean, without even, it's easy to rationalize and justify all the other things that are going on with a building because you're like, yes, finally, we have a building. Yet there's something that you said, Ed. You're like, you got to be aware of just a lot of the different, the size factors and all that. So I wanted to throw a scenario to you. And you know, if you were a church planter today, how you would wrestle through this scenario. So let's say you're a church plant, you have 150 week in, week out, and there's a building that seats 400. You don't have reserves. I mean, you've been going a couple of years, and I mean, maybe you have $100,000 saved up in the bank. You're trying to get that up, but you just, even that is a stretch depending on the week. How, like, if you're a church planner and there's this building about 450, and it was like a 50-year-old building, and you know, in whatever state that it was, what would you do?
Is it free?
Yes, it's free.
Yeah. Oof. And you know, you have to look at, you know, this, how much, you know, deferred maintenance. Remember, yeah, deferred maintenance built churches that are dying in defer maintenance for decades.
Yes,
right?
So that's right.
It could be like you could have two decades worth of work needs to be done. So I would say, I mean, boy, 400 seats, 100. Yeah, I would definitely look at that. You know, I just preached at a church plant that had acquired a building. I actually bought a building. So, you know, here's churches that are buying buildings that are, and this, you know, I would say it's at maybe 300. They were about 100. They grew into it. Here's what we typically see. You're depending upon like your visibility. I mean, if you're back, you know, 17 turns off of the main highway, but a good visibility acquired facility can bump your attendance. Well, you know what? I don't even know in COVID, but you know, can bump your attendance, you know, 25-50% in a year.
Oh,
so
totally.
You will see a bump that comes from that. And I would say that I would be willing to take some level of risk. I might be a little more cautious in COVID, but you know, but I would be willing to take some level of risk to see ultimately that we're gone. But I wouldn't make it such that I'm just barely, you know, making ends meet. That if we get this building and it doesn't work, then I gotta be basically, you know, I gotta have my building repossessed. So I want to make sure I have a little space. You know, financially, but yeah, I think I'd probably, you know, all things being said, if someone right now, if that's exactly you,
yeah,
please don't take Ed Stetzer's casual advice on a podcast to invest, you know, $400,000 in building renovations. You got to do a little more homework than that scenario, but yeah, that's got potential.
Well, cause the unintended side, I mean, you talked about the deferred maintenance side of things, but for a church planter who then has a building, I mean, you gotta figure out how are you gonna do upkeep. I mean, not just the deferred maintenance side that you might be able to contract out, right? But there's the cleaning side of it. There's not even the big projects of deferred maintenance, but even just the week in, week out. Like the if you're not careful, you could actually become a maintenance guy on your church.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think, right? You will. Yeah. Some degree. I mean, I've been the maintenance person, so I totally get it.
Yeah.
It is part of the, particularly as a smaller thing, it's just going to be necessary. Yeah. You're going to find you're doing those to things. So if that's the case, are you willing to do that?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
are you willing to shift what could be 25, 33, 40% of your offerings to that? You know, again, I would just be, you know, what's the level? It's hard to tell where, depending on where you are and what your finances are going to be, because you know you're going to get a bump, but that bump doesn't tend to give right away.
Yeah.
You know, it might take a year for giving to catch up to attendance and more. So just leave some buffer in there is all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying leave some buffer in there.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to think about, because even for one of our campuses that had been portable for 12 years, we had built a building. They moved in last fall. And I mean, yeah, they doubled. The campus doubled just because going from a movie theater into a building, and some from our main campus came, but there were a lot from the community that were excited about going. And one of the things that we did, though, was, hey, here's the team that sets up and tears down all the time. We were able to then say to them and invite them to serve in different ways, and to invite them because, hey, you don't need to set up and tear down anymore. So as if you're a church plant and you're going into a building, then you're buying a building or inheriting a building, there's definitely that aspect of repurposing or you know, helping your volunteers serve in a new way. But let me ask you another question on that, Ed. Let's talk about the feel, right? So if you have a church plant and let's say they're renting an art gallery, or they were renting some really cool space with just such a nice vibe, just that, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, just that it's, yeah, it's just really nice. Yeah. And then they have the opportunity to inherit a building for free, but it's
built
like
in the 70s, yes, exactly, with like green and sort of red stained glass.
Exactly. And pews and pink carpet. And
yeah, that could be cool though.
Yeah.
You know, here's the problem is a lot of these buildings are not old enough to be cool. They're just old enough to look like gaudy.
Yes.
And so it's a little tricky. Yeah, you know, that whole 70s architecture is kind of a mistake. And you've seen them all. Yeah,
yes.
They got kind of the trendy swoop and the stained glass that tried to be a little too cool for the school, too cool for school.
Yeah.
So, but it's, you know, for what I would say is that the you have to ask the question, what am I losing when I leave a rented space?
That's a good question.
And you know, and I don't know. You know, like you said, it could be a great space, a great location. You know, and we're dealing with some of this, you know, at the church I'm serving in New York City. You know, we have this building that is, you know, on West 57th Street, that's not accessible. It's been sold and, you know, New York City regulations. So we're renting different places. And, you know, Hunter College, which is, if you've anyone been to Redeemer Presbyterian, that's where Redeemer used to meet. You know, it's not the greatest venue. It's not attractive. It just looks like a college auditorium. You know, and we go to other places and the venue does have a different feel to it. Yeah. So we're kind of like, if you come to Calvary right now, it's sort of whack-a-mole. Where do you find the church? We've met at Hunter. We've met at the Ethical Cultural Center. We've met at the Ziegfeld Theater, and very different feel, not just to the, I mean, you walk in a room, it feels different, but even to the services, it just feels different. And if going into a facility kind of sucks the joy or the vibrancy out of it, you want to be careful with that. But again, here's what I would say too. So we, you know, I've been working with a lot of churches that have acquired buildings like that, and you can make substantive change to that. You know, that green and orange stained glass from the 70s that just didn't work, you can cover that. And, you know, you don't have to, you know, there's some places where it looks great, but you can cover that. You can connect, you can use pipe and drape could get you a lot of stuff as well. So don't be afraid to ask, how can we better do this? Even if the facility, if you got four walls and you got a stage up front, you can do a lot of stuff to make that better.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then as we come to a close on this episode, you know, we have church planners and pastors listening in and they're like, man, how do I inherit a building?
Yes, like, sign me up for that.
So what word of advice would you give to our church planners who don't have enough money to buy a building? They're a decade away from that. And they're just like, oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I would say don't be discouraged. Don't grow weary in well-doing. I think ultimately there are churches that have made a significant ongoing gospel difference who've never found themselves in a, still to this day, haven't found themselves in a facility. And so I would take that time to find the right facility. Don't jump at the first facility, find the right facility. And remember that it's to serve the mission. And you might be tired, and I get it. And COVID has made it harder for these things as well. And I would say too, probably if you had a building at the beginning of COVID, you're a lot better off than if you're meeting in a school or in a theater. But that won't be forever. Every pandemic ends. There's never been a pandemic that goes on forever. It becomes endemic eventually. And we cope with it and we restore back to a normalcy. And so what I would say is, it's been particularly hard right now, but don't give up and don't rush to a building that you regret getting later.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. So make sure in and through all this that your building serves your mission and your mission doesn't serve the building. Because if you're not careful, it'll end up, that's essentially what will end up happening, and your finances and everything will begin moving toward serving your building, and you'll get off drift. You'll drift off course essentially. Yep. So
good.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in. And if you have other questions or thoughts around mini series that you'd love for us to tackle, just send that in at newchurches.com. Hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Or if you're on your mobile device, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and you can send your question and thoughts in there. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.